welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely awesome, safe day today. Hope you guys had an amazing Labor Day weekend. And we're completely good down here right now, getting a little bit of rain bands here and there from this hurricane that unfortunately is completely decimating the Bahama Islands down there. If you guys have seen anything, it pretty much made landfall as a Category 5 on Sunday morning, if I'm not mistaken. And it's pretty much been parked over the Bahamas now since then. And, you know, now it's Tuesday. And it's slowed down to a point where it's actually stationary almost all day yesterday. And now it's again moving 1 mile an hour northwest. And it's dropped to a Category 3 now, from what they're saying. We're probably going to get some rain. It's probably just going to go up and hopefully dissipate. But we need to be praying for the Bahamas. I know they had a mandatory evacuation notification when all that went down. I know a lot of people still stayed out there. Sure, they really regret that now after sitting literally in the middle of a Category 5 to Category 3 hurricane for 3 days straight. That'd be pretty intense because you guys got to remember most hurricanes, when they pass through, I've been in a ton of them down here in Florida, they're usually moving pretty fast. Even when they hit landfall, they move pretty fast. You know, anywhere from 10, 15, 20, 25 miles an hour. It can range. But it's really unprecedented to see a hurricane not only drop down in the low, low single digits, like 1 to 2 miles an hour, like this thing did for a day and a half, but to actually go completely stationary over a landmass and just sit there. And the issue you run into with this is the rainfall. The storm surge is bad enough and it brings in, but when you have a hurricane that's producing that much rain and it just parks over everything, it just continues to flood and flood and flood and flood and flood. And so we'll get some rain from it later on this week. Other than that, we always stay prepared down here, but we've been praying against it and it's definitely worked. But we also do need to be praying for anybody that's down there in the Bahamas that survived, because that place is going to be an absolute mess once it clears and we can get in some support teams and medics and stuff down there, Deb.
You know, it's interesting, you know, the power of prayer. Power of prayer creates scalar waves. We've talked about that from a physics standpoint. And these scalar waves change the fabric of space-time. And, you know, we've prayed that this thing be dissipated and go back out into the Atlantic Ocean. But it's almost like it hit a wall. When it came to Florida, it's like it hit a wall. Bam, it just stopped. And, you know, and I personally believe it's our power of prayer that's doing this. I believe that. And that's why we have to pray in unison this thing get cast back out into the sea, you know, back into the Atlantic and dissipates where there's no harm to anybody else. The problem with it is, again, is that, you know, different people pray different things. And, you know, you have different groups of people that are praying weird things. Like, there are people that want the destruction of the United States. People want chaos and mayhem. And they're doing all kinds of magic spells and wicked stuff to try to make that happen. You think, well, why would people do that? I don't know. I guess it's because they're controlled by the evil one, I know. But it's just you know, it's so hard to believe as Christians and to try to wrap our head around the evil that's around us in this world. I mean, it's so hard for us to understand the depravity of the current situation that we find ourselves in when we believe in Jesus Christ and we basically worship the Most High God. It's just so hard to believe that these people actually want chaos and destruction and an inversion of the truth. You know, I've got a friend of mine right now, and he, how should I say this? He's got himself in alignment with some witches, and he's a Christian, but he's just kind of a baby Christian, because, I mean, a real true Christian who really understood the word wouldn't allow himself to be aligned with witches. Now, you know, years ago I told you the story of when a witch actually came after us, and I had to take her to a doggone restraining order. And she had written a bunch of letters to me and just all these death threats. And I finally took the letters and took them to the county and had them file a restraining order in family court. And I'm going to get in a little bit more detail about this today, and you guys have to stay with me on this. And then I got an attorney, and she had an attorney, and she lived in another state, and we had her basically brought back down for this restraining order hearing. And what was interesting about this is when I turned these letters in to the state as evidence, one of the ladies who processed this complaint that I had given her walked out there, and she goes, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years with the county, with family court. I've never seen stuff like this. And she goes, this stuff is just kind of freaking me out. And I said, well, yeah, it's real. This is how they act. And then another guy who came by the mailbox, a sheriff's officer, these letters were in the mailbox, and he picked them up with tongs and rubber gloves, and put them into a sealed envelope because he's afraid of what might be on them or in them. And you're thinking, what the heck? Really? This happened to you, Ted? Yeah, this happened to me. I was there at the mailbox when he picked them up with the tongs. And then I remember when we had her in the courtroom and we asked her, and guys, this is all public record. You guys can pull it up if you wanted to. And we asked if my attorney asked her if she was a witch, you know, under oath. And she pleaded the fifth. And it was very odd to me because the judge allowed her to basically pick and choose the answer she wanted to give. It was really strange. And then he started asking all these other questions about the witch stuff. And there was a guy who was sitting in the front who basically, a black guy, real nice guy, and he was in family court too for some various, who knows, some nefarious reason. I have no idea. And he ended up looking at me. He walked up to me after this thing was over with, and he goes, what the heck, man? He goes, I've seen some crazy in my life. I ain't ever seen nothing like this. And he was scared. But here's the thing. We have no reason to fear these people and what they do. But we don't have a reason to be a friend with them and have a fellowship with them. And we don't need to be consulting mediums and spiritists and occultists to call up the dead and to put curses on people. And you say, what the heck are you talking about, Ted? No. People still do this. They think it's a game. They think it's some kind of child's prank. They think it's a parlor game. We're going to go have a seance and we're going to call up some dead spirits or we're going to pull in a Ouija board. Now, guys, don't do any of that stuff. It's not good. I mean, you got to look back at the Witch of Endor. You got to look at what happened with Saul in the Old Testament and who she was or who this witch was. You got to remember that, you know, Samuel had died. And what happened is Saul wanted to get counsel and he wanted the Witch of Endor to conjure up the prophet Samuel. And, you know, and the craziest part about all of this stuff is, you know, this is the first human king of Israel, Saul. He was basically, you know, put there by the people. God didn't want to do it, but he did it anyhow. And basically, he didn't listen. He just didn't listen. And finally, he ends up getting basically troubled by an evil spirit. I personally believe that means he got possessed. Saul later disobeyed the God and he lied to Samuel when instead of killing the Amalekites and destroying all their possessions, he kept the evil Amalekite king alive and tried to take the best of the animals for himself. This is 1 Samuel 15:1-26. Additionally, the spirit of the Lord, which was upon Saul, was taken from him, the Holy Spirit, and he was troubled by evil spirits, 1 Samuel 16:14. And then King David's rise of popularity in 1 Samuel 18:17 leads Saul to fits of rage and revenge against David. And, you know, sometimes later Samuel dies, 1 Samuel 28:3. But, you know, King Saul unsuccessfully tried to consult God regarding his upcoming battle with the Philistines through the accepted means of Urim and Thummim, as well as the prophets, 1 Samuel 28:6. He was now clearly troubled, and he went to a witch. Now, he had already had the witches cleared out of the area because God had told him to. You know, had them killed, that's what it says. But, have them stoned to death or they ran. And then he called up the Witch of Endor, and he basically sees what he believes to be the spirit of Samuel. And, you know, I mean, then you got to realize what it says here. It says, do not go for advice that people consult the spirits of the dead, Leviticus 19:31. Now, remember, I'm reading you from the Torah, the Pentateuch, the five first books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. This is the word that was given to Moses by God himself. It says, any man who consults the spirits of the dead shall be stoned to death, Leviticus 20:27. He had Moses tell the children of Israel that it was the practices of the original inhabitants of the land of Canaan. Remember, I tell you, this is a Canaanite religion that runs this planet right now. I'm going to say it again. The ancient Canaanite religions of Moloch, Baal, Asherah are the religions that are still dominating this unseen hand of the global people, the one world order people that are running the planet. Okay? Moses told the children of Israel that the original practices of the land of Canaan, such as human sacrifice, divination, sorcery, witchcraft, and consulting the dead, it basically had caused the Lord to say to the Israelites to take over these lands because you can't have this going on. This is Deuteronomy 18:9-14. Now, the thing that's interesting here is this. The children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they had been underneath these ancient Canaanite religions that had also moved back down into Egypt. And I've talked about this in depth. I'm not going to do it today. And what ended up happening is this thread of these high-level satanic priests out of Egypt, because remember, they were conjuring up all kinds of weird stuff. Never forget, when Moses threw his staff down and it turned into a snake, the high priests of Egypt threw their staff down and it turned into a snake. So don't forget that. The word says that. This deals with just, you know, just complete sorcery and all this other weird stuff that these guys were involved with, and changing physical matter through frequency. I can say it that way. It makes more sense to people that aren't saved. And so what ended up happening is this group of people, this satanic group, remember, the Jews, well, they really weren't called Jews, and the Israelites were in Egypt for 400 years, and this teaching had permeated through them. They had become, especially the high leadership of it, it's like they had become corrupt from the sins of Egypt. And when they left Egypt, they still, after they saw the pillar of fire, after they saw the cloud, after they saw all the stuff that God was doing for them, and also the opening of the Red Sea and crossing into the land, you know, into the next land over to get away from the Egyptians, they still decide to make a golden calf and start having a giant orgy and sacrifices and all kinds of nutty stuff. That all came back out of Egypt. And that was that thread of weirdness that we have today that goes all the way back to the Canaanite religions came all the way through there, through the Dark Ages, all the way to before the Dark Ages with Christ, when he called them out of the book of John. He said, "Your father's Lucifer." Because he knew who they were. He knew who they were on the inside. Again, that was the ruling elite. They were corrupt already. They're the ones that hired the crowd to come in and have them free Barabbas, the ruling elite. And Christ understood who they were because he could see through into them and understood who they were. And this is why when we had the Dark Ages, and we had the all these crazy books that were written, and all these people started following this crazy stuff. Then we had Sabbatine Zevi in 1666, and all of this stuff. It's the same thread. So I tell you, it's the same spirit, this Canaanite religion that has gone through everything and come up to us today. You say, well, why is it like that? Because the prince of this world, you know, is Lucifer. It's what it says. You know, it says the god of this age has blinded the hearts and the minds of the unbeliever. So we as Christians are like an island, like a lighthouse. And we have to be a beacon to the world. That means we don't hang out with witches. It's not okay to hang out with a witch. Now, you may talk to a witch and you may rebuke that witch and say, look, you need to, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. You need to accept Jesus Christ. You need to get saved. You need to be set free. You can say that to them. Or you just be kind to him and try to pray for him, but you don't go have dinner with him. After Saul did this with the witch of Endor, she basically kills the fattened calf and gets the meal out, and she feeds Saul. They have a big meal together, and they share, break bread together, and he's hanging out with the witch. He's hanging out with the witch of Endor, you know, having a dinner with her. And you're thinking, because to kill the fatted calf, this isn't a 5-minute deal. To bake bread's not 5 minutes. I mean, she had to go out, slaughter a calf, and basically bring it in, prepare the meal, cook the meal. He's hanging out at the witch's house, just chilling. It ain't okay. Don't hang out with witches and chill out with them. You got to rebuke them. Let me give you an example. Yesterday, we had a subcontractor here. They were doing some work, and they brought a person with them that basically was a new employee. And the guy was smoking on the job. And, you know, I know people get addicted to cigarettes. And my mom smoked 5 packs of cigarettes a day. Because of being exposed to all that, I got a real bad cigarette allergy. I mean, when I get my head just stops up almost immediately when I get around cigarettes. I can't stand cigarette smoke. And so nobody else smokes on the job. And we have a non-smoke environment here. So the guy shows up, cigarette hanging out of the mouth. And he's a young guy, about 24 years old. And, you know, and I said to him, I said, bud, I said, his name's Carlos. I said, Carlos, I said, here's the deal. And he spoke English. All right, make sure you understand. He spoke English. I said, Carlos, I said, here's the deal. This is a non-smoke environment. If you want to take a break, during your break, you can go smoke, you know, just, you know, get 100 feet away from us or whatever and have a cigarette. I know, you know, nicotine's a, you know, a strong addiction. So if you got to smoke, you smoke, but, you know, just do it. Break, lunch, break, off. We're good. That lasted for about 2 hours. Finally, yeah, the break went smoked. Lunch went smoked. Finally, he's just walking around with a cigarette in his mouth, you know, working. And finally, he walked by me. I said, Carlos, you know, I've asked you several times now not to smoke. I said, could you please put the cigarette out and not smoke unless you break? and he cursed me. Guys, I kid you, GD this. And I looked at him and I said, get off my property. You're fired. And he looked at me kind of funny and he says, he started mumbling. So I said, dude, you don't understand. Get off my property. I said, I will not be cursed on my own property. Get off and leave now. And I spoke it rather sternly and pretty much everybody heard me. So he went over to his supervisor, his boss on the job, the head foreman. And the foreman says, get off the man's property. Go stamp out the mailbox. He goes, you're done here today. Guys, you think, well, gosh, Ted. Well, no, listen to me for a second. You know, I believe that God's a good God, and I serve him. I mean, my heart beats for the Holy Spirit and for God. I mean, if it wasn't for God changing me and filling me and basically giving me a reason and a purpose for my life, I don't even know what I would do. I'm that committed to Christ. And so when I have somebody coming on my property and cursing towards me, using God's name in vain, it's bad enough that I have to listen to alternative talk show hosts do it, which I don't listen to these people. And once I hear them do that one time, I'm done with them. It's bad enough they claim to be Christians and do this and expose us to this. But guys, you gotta draw a line in the sand. You gotta have enough chutzpah that when somebody says something like that to you or around you on your property, you just say, you gotta go, man. Hit the road, Jack, don't look back. Now, I prayed for the kid this morning. He's 24 years old, he's not a kid. I prayed for him and I asked God to send ministers of the gospel to him and let him realize that cursing people, especially on a job site that are paying your bill, is not okay. But it's so important that we understand this, guys. Last night, I went to see a movie with Sharon, and I want to really promote this movie. It's Overcomer. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen. I mean, it's a Christian movie. It openly talks about Jesus, openly centered prayer, has a great storyline. I'm not going to tell you what the story's all about because I don't want to ruin it for you. But everybody listening to me, I don't ask you to do stuff very often. I don't. Yeah, you know, I ask you to pray. I ask you to do that every day for me, and I pray for you every day. But I'm going to ask you to do something. If that movie's available in your area, it's called Overcomer, you need to go support it. You can $5, $6, $7, $8, $10, whatever for the movie. Go see the movie with your family. Take your children with you. Take people that are not walking the walker, you know, or whatever. Just take it with you. That movie's that good. Not a bad word. Great story plot. It made back its budget the first week it went out. If it had been wide release in thousands of theaters, it would have been a huge hit. It may still be. And if we can keep it out there, because here we are. We're constantly, you know, yakking about how we don't have good entertainment to watch and how the movies we go to see have bad language in them. This movie isn't like that. It's a really good family movie. It's a movie that you can take your children, your family, your teenagers to and really be blessed by it. It's called Overcomer. Now, you've never heard me endorse a movie that strongly before because I've told you I won't support Disney. Done with Disney. Done with their weirdo stuff. Done with their Club 33, which is Masonic level 33-degree Mason Club. Done with all of that stuff, okay? You know, done with that, you know, 50, 60, 70%, depending on who you listen to, of the workforce in Central Florida that they use are gay. Done with all of that stuff. I won't give them money anymore. You say, well, I like this. Okay, well, do what you want to do. But you got to put your money where your mouth is. You got to think through what you're doing and who you're going to support. There's all kinds of Christian ministries you can support. There's all kinds of really good churches you can support. There's all kinds of good itinerant evangelists and people that basically go around and who preach that you can support. But guys, try not to support people that are openly opposed to Christian values, who openly promote abortion, and who openly feel as though that it's okay to do whatever you want to do because the ends justify the means. Don't do that. Try to stay based in Christianity and try to walk the walk and talk the talk. Guys, if you're going to hang out with heathen, and I told you guys this 100 times, talk to them about Jesus. When I first got saved in Tallahassee back in 1979, I had a bunch of friends that were, well, you can't really call them friends. They were acquaintances. I knew them. I thought they were friends. And I started, you know, doing Bible studies with them. Hey, I got to come over and talk to you something. I'd bring my Bible over, and I'd read out of the book of John or out of the book of Mark, or I'd give them read out of the book of Acts, and I'd say, here's what the Bible says. And what was funny, a lot of these kids, you know, they were Catholic or they were raised in Lutheran churches or they were just, what, indifferent to the whole thing. But pretty much all of them, you know, pretty much discounted and wrote me off. They just said, you know, Ted's gone nuts. Okay? Because I accepted Jesus. I hadn't gone nuts. I had seen a revelation and it changed my life. When you have an encounter with God and you have a true conversion and you have a true feeling of the Holy Spirit, you don't want to sin anymore. You don't want to do that. You get convicted by it because you're like, nah, that's my old life. That's how I used to live. You know, I don't want to really smoke dope anymore. I don't really want to get drunk anymore. I really don't want to look at porn anymore. I don't want to just have, you know, premarital sex. I just don't want to do that. I want to try to bring honor and glory to God. And I'm not saying we're perfect. We all do things we shouldn't ought to do. We all say things we shouldn't ought to say. And I have no halo to adjust. And I continually work, like Paul said, on my own salvation. But guys, here's the thing. We have to understand something, that it's grace that we were given. We're never going to be good enough to accept Jesus. We're never going to be perfect enough to accept Christ. You can never come to a point where you are as good as the Most High God and now you can accept Jesus Christ. You can't do that. We're saved by grace through faith, not by works. But guys, that doesn't mean that our works are meaningless. It doesn't mean that. It talks about that in the book of James. We've got to go out. We've got to do the things of the Lord. And we've got to continue to strive to be best we possibly can be. So when you know you're going to be seeing something you shouldn't ought to see or doing something you shouldn't ought to do, Holy Spirit should convict you. You should think, well, probably shouldn't have seen that. I cannot tell you how many movies my wife and I have gotten up and walked out of. Just gotten up and walked out of and said, nah, we're not going to do this. Not going to do this. Need a refund. Not going to do it. Why? Because we've got to draw the line in the sand. And I've talked about this. This has been my little thing we talked about for the last 2 weeks. This is the thing I'm talking about right now. You have to draw the line in the sand. There's only certain things you can do and can't do. And going and consulting the Witch of Endor and hanging out with her, having dinner with her, having her kill the fatty calf, having her make you some bread, just chilling out. Are you kidding me? That's not okay. And Saul knew that. And his kingdom was taken from him. And he basically went nuts and got demon-possessed. You know, guys, the one thing that God is, now listen to me for just 1 second here, I'm done with this. There's a word in Germany, it means, it's called Ordnung. Ordnung, which means order. God is the God of Ordnung. I mean, you think about it for a second. You got billions of stars and galaxies and universes and all this other kind of stuff all tied together in a multidimensional universe with all of these different timelines. Okay, think about this for a second. Okay? It can't be running into each other. You can't be having solar systems colliding and destroying each other. You can't. Everything has to be in Ordnung. It's all order. That's why God gave us the Ten Commandments. That's why he gave us the Word. It's an owner's manual to help provide Ordnung or order to a lost and dying world. That's what it's for, because he loved us that much. And that's why we need to pay attention to the Word. Read the book of Ephesians. Find out what a true overcomer you are. Read the book of John. Read the book of Mark. Read the book of Acts. I mean, stay in the New Testament as a New Testament Christian and understand the grace that we've been given. Then venture back into the Old Testament and realize why God did what he did. Why God is the God who he is. Remember, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It hadn't changed. So finally, in the New Testament, he says, okay, look, I got it. You guys aren't going to be able to understand this or obey these rules and these commandments. You're going to miss it. And I'm going to fix this once and for all. I told you, we've talked about this before. And he sent Jesus, his only son, through the Virgin Mary to allow us to become overcomers. I love you guys. I hope this has ministered to somebody this morning. But watch who you hang out with. Watch what you say. Watch what you do. And just do the best you can to bring honor and glory to God. Austin, what do you think, bud?
Absolutely, bud. Great info on that. Also, too, in other news, this is something that we've seen repeatedly now, and I keep bringing it up with different segments because I find it very odd. Another huge recall has now been issued for 24,428 pounds of raw beef that have been deemed unfit for human consumption, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture Food Safety and Inspection Service. That's over 12 tons, 12 metric tons. This is crazy here because what we're seeing now is they said they inspected carcasses and collected a sample for further analysis. Prior to test results being received, the carcass was released and further processed raw. And then basically they've come in now and they've said that it's not okay for human consumption. The problem is what myself and a lot of other people have asked, what does unfit for human consumption even mean? Normally when we see beef or anything that's been contaminated, it's, you know, E. coli contaminated or it's salmonella contaminated or it's been contaminated with human blood, like we saw the one the individual cut themselves. But just a blanket issue for almost 25,000 pounds of beef, remember, that's not carcass beef, that's actual processed raw beef. And listen here, like 48 66-pound containers containing American beef pack ribeye, 40 50-pound cases containing American beef pack, 75, 25. I mean, we're talking a lot of processed beef here. And, you know, it's something that I just noticed. It seems to be occurring a lot lately, and it seems to be a very strange timing considering the fact we have an all-out drought in certain parts of the country and an all-out storm as far as flooding in other parts of the country. And we know that next year, after we've seen the corn yields and the soybean yields this year, I've already talked about that in detail, we're going to have a serious problem with food. And not to mention that, cows eat a lot of soybeans and a lot of other food that they're going to be feeding them that we're not going to have now. And so I find it very strange when we see food like this have massive, massive, massive recalls over one carcass that they deem now unfit for human consumption, and they have refused to give any other explanation now on why this food has to be recalled, almost 25,000 pounds of beef. So I thought that was interesting. Also, too, in other news, this is something that kind of dives into what I've been really talking about the last couple weeks with the Neuralink that Elon Musk is starting to put out. Vox, well, site Vox, has now reported the Swiftly Spark alarm now that is starting to go off after the Friday. On Friday, they outlined how in the era of neurocapitalism, your brain needs new rights following the recent revolution that Facebook and Elon Musk Neuralink are developing technologies to read people's minds. And I've talked about this repeatedly now, but one thing about this that it goes into detail now is how people are supposed to be able to protect their thoughts. And the simple aspect of that is me is don't get Neuralink, don't get brain transmitters, don't be hooking things up to your brain whatsoever. But now they're saying that the technology they're going to use, they're going to start having the ability, even without the Neuralink, to be able to essentially scan you to get at least a brief synopsis on your actual thoughts. This is some creepy stuff. They go on to say here, Mark Zuckerberg's company is funding research on brain-computer interfaces that can pick up thoughts directly from your neurons and translate them into words. The researchers say they've already built algorithms that will decode words from your brain activity in real time. Musk's company has also then created flexible threads that can be implanted into a brain and can allow you to control your smartphone or your computer with just your thoughts. Elon Musk is planning to start testing on humans by the beginning of next year. And they go on the article, they say, considering those and other companies' advances and ambitions, Samuel warned that your brain, the final privacy frontier, may not be private much longer, and laid out how existing laws are not equipped whatsoever to handle these emerging technologies, and how they will interfere with the rights that are so basic you may not even think of them as rights, like our ability to determine where ourselves and machines begin. And what he's really kind of outlining here is what we've talked about in detail, and the fact that they're wanting to have the interface with the brain and machine and create this cyborg species, essentially, this transhumanism. And I think this is going to be the next step. When you have somebody like Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk, both of those have obviously been, how should I say, paid assets, very, very well supported and very well funded for whatever they have actually done, if being anything, or just being fronts for what they are. We've talked about that in detail, how you have these cutouts that are given billions upon billions of dollars essentially to be the face of something so that they can have them as the individual that is essentially the face of Facebook or the face of Amazon or the face of Tesla or whatever else they're coming out with. And now we're seeing this start to come to market. It's a very, very, very interesting thing, and so we have to be very aware of this, because it's funny to me how just a few years ago people talked about, you know, oh, they can, you know, read your thoughts. They're coming out with the technology to do so. They're going to integrate, you know, an interface that ties you into your smartphone. And people, I mean, I even had people email me that when I talked about it last year with 6G. People go, oh, this is too much. You know, Austin's gone off the deep end. 6G is never going to allow you to be able to interface with your phone and see this and scan your brain and all that. It's already out there. The Neuralink's already being tested next year. They already have 6G, the 6G aspect already up and rolling. That's why they're pushing so hard to get 5G out in every single square radius in the United States. So once this thing goes full-blown live, they can integrate it into everybody's lifestyle. So just something that I thought's very... you know, just kind of creepy to see with this. Also, too, in other news, I thought this was wild. As we're seeing the war on anything involving guns now, I told you yesterday about the 17-year-old boy who's suspended until further notice for going target shooting with his mother completely legally in Colorado. Now they're doing a full evaluation on him, and now his mother has to go in and actually defend him and try to prove that he wasn't doing anything illicit when he wasn't at all. Even law enforcement already determined that. Now, an American tennis player, Mike Bryan, was fined $10,000 over the weekend for holding his tennis racket like a rifle and pointing it. His tennis racket. Apparently, they called it went out. They basically appealed it, and it won in their favor. And he basically was holding his racket and turned it around and basically aimed it like it was a rifle. And they said now that the U.S. Tennis Association claimed that it was insensitive and inappropriate, and he's now been fined $10,000 for doing so. Whether or not you find it inappropriate, whether or not you find it offensive, I really don't care. The fact that now people are being fined for holding inanimate objects such as tennis rackets in the form of a rifle show you with clear-cut evidence that there is a war on the Second Amendment, and they are not going to stop until they can completely and totally erase the concept of firearms, self-defense, and self-sufficiency out of the American psyche. That is the next goal, because, see, they don't want a 5 or 6-year-old kid seeing this video of him holding the racket like a rifle. Not because they care about mass shootings. That's obviously not the case, because if they did, they would have actually reported on the 17-year-old black male that brought a handgun to a high school football game last Friday in Alabama and shot 9 kids at the school. They didn't report on that. That literally got buried in the news. I still haven't even seen any legitimate reports on it. They don't care about school shootings. All they care about is removing the ability of the opposition to defend themselves, and that is the main goal out here, and that is why it is so important that we, again, speak the truth about what is going on and resist any tyranny, whatever forms it comes in, whether it be gun control, suppression of speech, or suppression of our ability to live freely in this country. Any of those need to be fought against. So I thought that was interesting, now this guy being fined $10,000 now for holding his tennis racket essentially the wrong way.
You know, Austin, I remember a few years ago, and I don't remember the story, but I remember a guy did the same thing. He may have been an NFL person or one of the people that were an athlete, and he used his hand and made like a gun, like he shot somebody with his hand. And he had nothing in his hand, just his hand. He just kind of pointed at him like, bang, you know, like kids always do when they're little. And, boy, he got fined. He got in trouble. I remember right now. I can't remember the story. If you guys remember the story, bring it back to my attention. But I remember that, and we'll talk about it tomorrow if I can remember. But this is ridiculous. I mean, you can't now pretend like you have a tennis racket that's a gun and you don't like his thing. And I'm not saying that it was right for him to do that. I'm not even saying it was cool. I'm saying that he probably shouldn't have done that. But to get fined because he basically is holding an inanimate object, I mean, that seems kind of silly to me. But I guess what they're trying to do is do it, like you said, Austin, they're trying to demonize weapons as much as they possibly can. And this is what they do in all these things. You know, I had a friend of mine, he basically sends out his emails and his information from the show to his friends. And his friends have been posting the information, you know, on Facebook and, you know, and basically, you know, putting this stuff up. One of them was Elisa, and she basically put it up and basically posted this information on Facebook, on her Facebook page, and Facebook deleted the Ted and Austin Brewer Show off her Facebook page. And he was like, wow. And she was like, you know, I can't believe this happened, you know. And guys, they already pulled me off YouTube. They pulled us off YouTube a year and a half ago. You know, we were one of the first people they snatched because they understand. See, here's the thing. When you sign up at our website at healthmasters.com for our newsletter, we're going to send you a link, a direct link from our website every single day to the talk show that you're listening to right now. So you need to do that so we can stay in touch with you. because sooner or later they're going to do. And Dave Hodges sent me a link last night, and he said that they're really coming after us right now. And my response to him is, "Greater is He who is in us than He's in the world." You know, they can't. What are they going to do? You know, we have a grassroots movement now that's so big and so huge that's growing that, you know, they know they're in trouble. They know they've lost control of the narrative. They know that nobody believes the mainstream news anymore, which is a bunch of liars and thieves and weirdos and warlocks and witches is all they are, and CIA assets. They understand that we have basically the world finally realized that, you know, we've been taken advantage of. We've been had, so to speak, by these guys who have lied to us and told us all of these stories for all of these years. And we just sat there mind-numbingly innocent, so to speak, and believed them. You know, I mean, think about it for a second. This has been going on with medical tyranny for decades. You know, we had the Gerson Cancer Therapy Clinic back in the 20s and the 30s. They're having really good research on natural cancer treatment cures, including intravenous vitamin C. And they were curing cancer, especially things like leukemia, which they said was a vitamin C deficiency. Now, you've heard me say that. This is what Gerson said. And they said if you give a person with leukemia large doses of vitamin C intravenously, that the leukemia just goes away. Now, what's interesting about all of this, they were basically vilified. And they were, and another guy back then, his name was Royal Rife. I mean, what he did was incredible. He actually developed a microscope you can look at living tissue under, and they basically destroyed him. He's been memorialized as medical fraud. He developed a microscope capable of viewing viruses. His inventions are so advanced they are still used today in the field of optics, electronics, radiochemistry, biochemistry, ballistics, and aviation. He was a celebrated inventor until the backlash over the discovery that each microbe and each virus had a particular frequency which it was vulnerable, which called it its mortal oscillatory rate. In other words, we all vibrate at a certain frequency, and cells vibrate at a certain frequency. They have a certain energy field around them. The Bible says through Christ all things are held together. Well, we have these things that come into our body like cancer cells, and they're not part of our body. So if you hit them with the opposite sine wave of their oscillatory rate, it causes these cells to die. It causes them to basically just completely fall apart. Rife tested the removal of specific bacteria, viruses, and tumors from rats using tailored electromagnetic frequencies, radio waves, with great success, after which he tried this healing method on humans and was again successful, which earned him fame within the scientific community for a short while. In June 1931, Popular Science magazine published a story about Rife's medical discoveries, and physicians all over California clamored to visit him to observe his experiments and to verify his results. In 1934, Rife was honored as the man who discovered the end of all disease by a group of physicians led by Dr. Milbank Johnson of Pasadena. In an experiment that was sponsored by the University of California, 16 patients with cancer were brought to the hospital in San Diego and placed in apartments where they were treated by the electromagnetic frequencies recommended by Dr. Rife. In just 3 months, 14 of the 16 patients were declared free of any cancer. You guys, I'm telling you some stuff you don't know. The other two required an additional month of treatment to be successfully cured. After this monumental success, another 16 out of 16 people were cured. Dr. Rife made the following statement about the frequency instrument treated. No tissue is destroyed, no pain is felt, no noise is audible, and no sensation is noticed. A tube lights up, and 3 minutes later, the treatment is complete. The virus or bacteria is destroyed, and the body then recovers itself naturally from the toxic effect of the virus or bacteria. Several diseases may be treated simultaneously. Rife was hailed in scientific and medical communities for the discoveries, and by 1937, he established a company called Beam Ray with several colleagues and different machines. The head of the American Medical Association, a man by the name of Morris Fishbein, immediately sent his attorneys to try to purchase the exclusive rights to the technology. Rife, however, turned down the offer. Here we go. Get ready. Here you go. Rockefeller Rothschild Industrial Medical Complex. Although no one knows the exact terms of the offer, it's probably similar to the one Fishbein made to Harry Huxley, a man who discovered an herbal remedy that destroyed cancer cells. Huxley himself traced the treatment to his great-grandfather, who observed a horse with a tumor on its leg cure itself by grazing upon wild plants growing in the meadow. Fishbein, who was suspected of having been an agent of Big Pharma, there we go, companies of the day, stalked Huxley mercifully, attempting to make offers which he refused. Fishbein used his political connections to have Huxley arrested 125 times in the period of 16 months. That means he's getting arrested like all the time, with charges repeatedly thrown out of court. But Fishbein continued to harass Huxley for 25 years. That's the resolve of these guys. Remember, this is the pharma. This is pharmakia. This is what Revelation talks about, these guys who practice pharmakia, these witches and warlocks and these wizards and these weirdos and these whackbags who want to kill you with drugs. Fish being a fish bite allegedly financed one of the engineers who worked with Rife to bring a lawsuit against him. That lawsuit was the beginning of the end for Rife and his machines. Unable to withstand the attacks on his character and his life's work, Rife crumbled and turned to alcoholism. Despite the fact that he ultimately won his case, the legal costs bankrupted him and his Beam Ray company went out of business. Fishbein worked diligently to suppress all of the previous findings about Rife's machines, and he apparently bribed many of the doctors who had celebrated Rife to remain silent. This author's opinion. Medical journals, which are all predominantly funded by Big Pharma, Rothschild, Rockefeller advertising revenues, refused to publish anyone's work involving Rife's theories or his machines. As if this, all this persecution was enough, Rife's lab was broken into. Documentation of his work was stolen, including photographs and even pieces of the microscopes were stolen and vandalized. Same thing happened with Nikola Tesla with his free energy. We have to remember Nikola Tesla was in partnership with another Rothschild flunky, Morgan, who basically, J.P. Morgan, who basically owned 51% of Nikola Tesla, and they would never allow him to put free energy onto the market. And guys, you got to realize that Rife is just one of the victims of these giant corporations. Okay, these groups of people know there's more money in treating cancer and keeping people sick than there is in curing cancer or curing heart disease or whatever. It's a lot. You can make a lot more money on a $10,000 treatment of chemotherapy than you can a $100 treatment of intravenous vitamin C. And so I'm not making any claims about any of these treatments, whether they worked or didn't work. I wasn't around in 1930, and I don't know. But here's what I know is this. I know that there are a lot of natural protocols which have been used for years and years and years by doctors all around the country to help treat and cure cancer patients, and many of these doctors have been arrested or put out of business or had their licenses removed. That I know for sure. So you ask yourself a question, well, do you think any of these things are possible? Here's what I know. I know that through God all things are possible, and I know that through natural healing and the right supplements and the right nutrition and the right diet that you can change your life and change your being for the better. Because if you don't have the right nutrients in your diet and you can't produce the right cells and your cells become diseased and weak and cancer comes into your body, doesn't it make sense had you had the right nutrients to start with and your immune system was strong that your body would have never come down with cancer because the body could have fought it off because our immune system fights off cancer in everybody's body every single day? That's how I look at it. So think through all of this stuff. Why are they poisoning us with all these petrochemicals, with all of these hormones, with all of these antibiotics, with all of these things they're doing to us on an ongoing basis and completely subjecting our immune system to this onslaught? I'm telling you why they're doing it. It's because of eugenics. That's what they do. They want to reduce the population of the planet. And they don't want to have natural treatment protocols out there because they want to make as much money as they possibly can. On top of the eugenics, they're greedy. They want to kill you on your way out. You know what I said? It's not bad enough they kill you. They got to make money on you while you die. And so this is why it's so important to eat clean. Follow the Old Testament dietary guidelines. Now, you're not going to go to hell because you eat pork. It ain't going to happen. But let me tell you something, guys. You read the last two chapters of Isaiah, I think it's 65 and 66. You read the last two chapters of Isaiah and get an understanding of what God and how God feels about pork and eating of pork. Just read the last two chapters of Isaiah and see if that's what pleases him to do that. Because it's the same God yesterday and ever, today and forever. Now, again, you can eat pork and you can get to heaven. You just get there a lot quicker as far as I'm concerned because the World Health Organization has said it's the number one cause of cancer globally. So think through this. Think through all of this. I mean, when Jesus had the demons, he cast them into the pigs. He didn't even hesitate. And thousands of these hogs ran into the ocean or into the river, into the sea, or whatever they did into the, I think it was the Sea of Galilee, and they drowned themselves. He knew they were going to do that before he did it. He knew what was going to happen. Did it anyhow. Because they were eating these animals. They were supposed to be used for like septic tanks. You put them in a big pit and let them eat the sewage. Because remember, they didn't have running water back then. They didn't have toilets. They'd have to take their human excrement, you know, you'd have to put it in a bucket and then basically take it outside of the camp and throw it into a big pit. And they had the hogs down there eating it. That's what the pigs were good for. Okay, they're not good to eat. And that's the same truth today. Because we know there's a good article that was written in the Biological Therapy, Volume 1, Number 2, 1983, by Professor Hans Reckwig. It's called The Adverse Influence of Pork Consumption on Health. And it goes into detail about what pork does and all the different diseases that are caused by pork. And we have to understand, guys, that when you eat that kind of stuff, you're going to compromise your own immune system. Don't do that. Don't do that. And realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Guys, it's so important to realize that, you know, when we walk with Christ, when we walk with Jesus, when we're walking and talking to the Holy Spirit and we're talking to people about becoming saved, it pleases God. It pleases Him. And it also pleases God when you walk in health and you listen to His Old Testament dietary guidelines. You say, well, I'm not going to be under the law. I'm not putting you back under the law. I'm putting you back under grace. You're under grace. That doesn't mean you can do what you want to do when it's contrary to his word. It's not okay. You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about, you know, not consulting witches. You say, well, that's Old Testament. We should be able to consult witches now. No, it doesn't work that way. Okay, I'm getting redundant. Austin, I love you, buddy. What's your next story?
Absolutely. Also, too, another health news right now. A new study published in the Journal of Cell Research is now showing that it may be possible to treat hereditary, allegedly hereditary Parkinson's disease with the help of B12, high doses of B12. The study found that the active form of B12, basically methylcobalamin or methylated B12, the real one that we sell, it can reduce the effects of dopamine loss and Parkinson's disease caused by genetic mutations in the LLRK2 gene. The study suggests that this form of vitamin B12 can be used to develop therapies for treating Parkinson's disease. It's pretty interesting how they did it. I'm not going to go into all the real detailed research with a lot of it. You can read it. We'll put it up on the website on here. But they're showing on here now that the active form of it is used, and it can be used in the research to develop a basis for new therapies to combat hereditary Parkinson's associated with the variants of that enzyme that are causing that. So again, it just, every time we turn around, we talk about it. I've talked to a few people as well that I've told you this before that we've had as far as with Alzheimer's, with the magnesium brain food, high doses of the magnesium brain food, because that's got the L-theanate brain food in it, the magnesium that actually goes through the blood-brain barrier. So we're seeing now more and more research come out, whether it be magnesium, whether it be omega-3 fats, whether it be methylated B12, that this stuff is crucial for the brain, especially if you're having any type of cognitive disorder like this with Alzheimer's or Parkinson's. And you really have to look into the natural approaches. And here's the thing, guys, and this is what I tell so many people. You know, the medical model is there. It's always there. I promise you, it's not going away. The pharmaceutical industry is not going anywhere anytime soon. That's a fact. So if you're experiencing something like this, or you think you may be coming down with something, or you think you may have a family member with it, to me it always makes sense to look at the natural approaches first. And this is why I tell people all the time, if you look at the natural approach first and say, you give it a shot for 30, 60, 90, 120 days at least, and it's not doing what you think it needs to do, guess who's always still there? Big Pharma. They haven't gone anywhere. But in most cases, and I've seen this a lot, in most cases when people start off first with a natural approach and try to look at their diet and their lifestyle and their supplement intake, it can play a very, very positive role in helping them out with whatever issue that they may be occurring. Because the natural, I've told this guys before, when people are having issues with, say, depression, they don't have a deficiency in Paxil or Zoloft or any of this stuff. You know, when people are having issues with focusing, or they've been diagnosed with ADHD, which is actually made up terminology to simply push more pharmaceuticals. You can look at the research on that as well. The individual that actually coined that phrase and made that phrase in the psychological manual on his deathbed admitted that it was completely made up, that there was no way to test for it, that it was simply made up. But individuals that may be experiencing issues with focus, not being able to concentrate, they don't have a deficiency of a Schedule II controlled amphetamine salt like Adderall. Nobody has a deficiency of Ritalin or Adderall. That doesn't exist. Any scientist, any doctor, any researcher can tell you that has never been the case in any history. Nobody has a deficiency of pharmaceutical amphetamine. But what a lot of times people do have is a deficiency of B vitamins and deficiency of magnesium and deficiency of omega-3 fats, because majority of our diets do not include these anymore. And majority of supplements that people take, if people ever take supplements, are a lot of times completely synthetic Chinese-based nutrients. That's why I talked to a customer the other day last week on the phone, and he was saying, man, he goes, you know, when I first started your supplements, Austin, he goes, I thought they were kind of pricey. He goes, you know, I tried to get sales, and I appreciated the stuff you did, and he goes, but then I started taking the supplements, and I switched over more and more and more supplements to you guys, the Health Masters, and got away from some of the cheap stuff I was buying from some of the other big box stores. I'm not going to say any names on that, but just a lot of the cheap, cheap Chinese stuff that you can buy, you know, a bottle of CoQ10 for 90 days for $5. I mean, you really got to question the efficacy of what you're even putting in your body at that point. But he goes, you know, once I started taking your supplements, and once I was on them for about a month, I started realizing that the money wasn't even an issue. He goes, because quite frankly, a lot of your products were quite affordable compared to what they actually did. He goes, because I thought before all the stuff that I was taking from these big box stores was actually helping me. He goes, and I was still spending a decent amount of money on all these different products. And he goes, then I realized when I came off of them, I started your products, that they weren't doing anything at all. He goes, and I actually felt what it felt like to have real nutrients in my body feeding my cells and giving me energy. And I think we had started them off on like the omega-3, the ultimate multiple powder, and the magnesium brain food. That's what we first started off with. That was it, just those three right there. And so that's why I continue to tell everybody, this is why we do what we do at Health Masters. We try to do the best we can, and we produce the highest quality supplements we can physically produce here in the United States with quality nutrients, and this is why they work. So thank you for the support you give us to Health Masters. Every time I see articles like this, you know, discussing Parkinson's support with B12, it always gives me hope, because it shows me that a lot of times the more this research comes out on natural health and nutrients, it really, really, really is exciting, because it shows us that we can help out more people and stay healthier and stay more mentally acute, because all of us in this country have to understand that is one of the crucial roles that we have to maintain right now. It doesn't matter if we have a safe full of guns, if we're sitting on the couch in a pharmaceutical-induced stupor, eating MSG-laden chips, watching the mainstream CNN fake news, and absolutely have no idea where we at while we drool on ourselves. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many firearms you have. It doesn't matter how smart you were. It doesn't matter how aggressive or how tenacious or how brilliant you were. It doesn't matter. You're stuck on the couch, popping your pharmaceuticals, eating your MSG, drinking your diet sodas, watching CNN, completely unresponsive. You're useless in most opinions. That's it. You're not going to do anything. So we have to understand that our health is one of our most important assets that we possess, and we have to take care of it, and we have to continue to massage it and protect it and support it, because right now, big pharma, big biotech with the GMO foods, mainstream media, all these guys, they're not for our health. They're absolutely 100% against it. And once you understand that concept and you finally get that through your head, that they don't care about you being healthy. They don't care about you being alive. They don't care about you taking care of your family. They don't care about any of it. All they care about is they can extract as much money and as much time and as much energy out of you as they can before they basically let you go rot off in some hospital somewhere. That's all they really care about. You have to get that through your head to fully understand what we're dealing with, and then that helps you understand why it's so important to take care of our bodies and take the right supplements and exercise, Dad. Well, like Ted may have already signed off here. I'm not sure what's going on with his phone, but no worries. I'll close the show on here. It looks like we had a little bit of a technical issue on Ted's end, not a problem with that. But again, this is why we continue to talk about what we talk about right now. And I mean, like, right now, I mean, I saw somebody emailed me this morning. You know, they said, it's funny how you have these giant cruise ships that make millions, if not billions of dollars a year. Just off the Bahamas alone makes significant amount of money. You got, you know, Norwegian cruise ships. You got Carnival. You got all these ones offline. And they said, let's see who's the first cruise ship that's going to go park over at the Bahamas like they do all the time and help the people that are there and bring them up on the ship and do some stuff for them and see if they can do something, considering how much money they make off the Bahamas. But we probably won't see that at all. We may if we get enough push for them. Do you know how many people you could help out in the Bahamas bringing a cruise ship there for a week, let them, you know, basically have a room to stay in, have some food, have some fresh water while you get stuff situated and realigned back on that island? I'm telling you right now, I've been watching it over the week. That island is gone. Bahamas right now doesn't exist of what we know it. I mean, they'll be able to rebuild it because it's an island. I mean, you can always rebuild islands. But, I mean, it's wiped out right now. And so, I mean, it's really important we pray for and we really try try to support anybody that's been affected down there. And on top of that as well, push these doggone cruise ships to make all this money off exploiting these islands all the time. Push them to actually do something for once and actually support these islands and what's going on down there. And again, thank you again for your support of Health Masters. Again, at healthmasters.com, if you guys need anything, be sure to give us a call or email us, healthmasters.com. We have a lot of different specials and stuff going on right now. So we, again, thank you for the continued support of healthmasters.com. You also can check out the Healthy Cardio Support Kit that we have on sale right now for over 12% off on here. I think we have it for on sale for $183.86. Really, really
great,
good
kit.
Basic cardio kit. And also, too, we have the Hagman Blood Sugar Protocol. Doug Hagman's gotten great results from that kit as well, along with the vitamin C, which is on sale for product of the week. I know you take that product on a regular basis, Dad. So do I. The vitamin C is crucial for the cells.
Well, it is, Austin, and I apologize. Again, this show got too good, and they had to kill my signal again, which is really starting to irritate me. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. One more study coming out right now. It says it will definitely prove that fire didn't bring down Building 7 at the Trade Towers of 9/11. A lot of you don't know that there was actually another tower that came down. It was a Solomon building after 9/11 a few hours later, completely covered up by the news media. In fact, here it is. Professor and chair of the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, Dr. Leroy Husley, will be releasing a new study proving that WT-7 did not fall due to a fire. Guys, if anything doesn't make you believe the buildings, that 9/11 was an inside job or something weird really was going on there, look at Building 7 and what happened with that. Guys, I love you. I hope you enjoyed the show today. We're going to just to spite the people to turn my signal off, I'm going to turn today's show into a green show. Guys, I love you. You'll be hearing this show again when something happens and we can't be on the air. I love you and I appreciate you. You guys are absolutely awesome. Had the opportunity, the privilege to pray for you again today. Austin, go ahead and close it up, and I'll do the write-up. Love you guys.
Absolutely, and be sure to get on the website and vote for the product of the week. That always changes on Wednesday, and it'll be going and changing tomorrow. The digestive enzyme blend, the chelation therapy, the GHI cleanse, the L-glutamine, bunch of great products up for vote on the front page of the website at healthmasters.com right now, so be sure to check that out. And again, we appreciate the support. Thank you for the prayers. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.